Hello and welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on this very rainy day, at least it is when I'm filming this. I hope that you enjoyed the snow last week, got to see an aspect of God's creation that we don't often get to enjoy in our area, and I was amazed this morning when I left to go to the office, and actually when I went out for my walk, there were still a few patches of snow around our yard, but now this rain has come and it's washed that away, and it's extremely cool and damp feeling. In fact, in some ways, it feels even cooler than it did last week with the snow. But I hope that you're having a great day in terms of the weather, but certainly in terms of your circumstances in your life, your walk and your relationship with God. I hope that you've been looking forward to our time together. I always do. These times, getting ready for them and going through this time, going through the lesson together, always strengthens me and builds me up in my faith and my trust with the Lord, and I pray it does for you as well. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make this possible, but obviously more than anyone, thank our Lord, who's created us, who loves us, who in fact has made salvation possible through the blood of Jesus Christ, who brings us to that salvation. And in that salvation, we have a wonderful relationship with Him, and times like these, like this, are times in which we can grow in our knowledge of Him and our heart relationship with Him. And since He has made all this possible, and all of it is by His plan and design for us to know Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much, O Lord, for this day that You've given to us. Lord, just the beauty and the wonder of Your creation that we've enjoyed over the past several days. And Father, even more importantly, O God, the wonder of Your salvation, the relationship You've called us to. Lord, Father, the way that You speak to us and reveal Yourself to us through Your Word, and for bringing us here today. Lord, I pray that You'll open our minds and our hearts. Yes, Lord, give us an understanding of the passage, but help us to know You better. Lord, help us as a result of this time, Lord, to be able to trust You more, to walk closer to You. Lord God, just be with us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, as we meet with our Lord and we think about all that He has done, isn't He worthy of our deepest praise and adoration that we can give to Him? As we open God's Word to Psalm 66, you think about how the psalmist was inspired to write this. You think about verse 1 through the very first part of verse 3. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. You know, what a wonderful God we have. What an incredible God we have. What a God who's worthy of our praise and our trust and our adoration. And throughout this psalm, it helps us to focus and to see the various reasons that we ought to praise the Lord. And I hope as we go through this that our heart is truly lifted to worship. But also realize as we come to this psalm that many of you may be going through some problem or difficulty, and you're having a hard time just holding on, much less really, let's just be honest, really truly being able to praise and thank the Lord. And yet what we find is we look at these reasons to praise the Lord, we also see reasons that you have to trust the Lord in whatever your situation or circumstance may be today. And so, yes, we're called to praise, called to worship, but it's also a call to trust. And so this psalm speaks to us in so many wonderful levels. It'll lift our heart no matter how deep in the pit we may be. If we are on the mountaintop of just experiencing God's wonder in our life right now, it gives us the ability to express that. But we think about reasons to praise the Lord and hence reasons to trust Him. We see, first of all, God's sure victory. Now again, I'm sure all of us have some problem or issue today, and you may be facing one that's in fact quite large, one that's in fact major. You may be looking at the condition of our nation right now, wondering about the future of this nation for your children, your grandchildren, or some circumstance within your family or your own finances. And you may look at those things, and that might be why you have difficulty praising God. But look at what we see as we look at the latter part of verse 3 going on through verse 4. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Selah. The wonderful truth is the fact that our Lord will in fact rule and reign. You see, when you study the Old Testament prophecies, it makes it very clear that God is in fact going to rule and reign. You go through the New Testament, you come to Revelation 19, you see the victorious return of our Lord. Our Lord will in fact reign. All that we see taking place around us, whether internationally, nationally, or personally, all of that, no matter how big it may seem to be, is not an obstacle that's impossible to get past. None of that is a roadblock. In fact, it's actually a path to fulfillment of God's will. Our God is the triumphant God. And the victory, his promised, prophesied victory, is as real as any historic victory of the past. And so whether we're just, you know, able to worship the Lord and contemplate the fact that he will rule and reign, or whether we're deeply burdened by some problem or issue, we can in fact worship and hence trust the Lord because of his sure, certain, absolutely assured victory. Our God is in fact the triumphant God, the God who wins, the God who in fact will rule and reign. But notice what else we see. As we continue looking at this psalm, we then see his God's saving grace. You think about what we see in verses 5 through 7. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. He rules by night forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Looking back on God's wonderful salvation, so to speak, for the nation of Israel, certainly, yes, he brought them out in the Exodus, as he led them through in the conquest of the land, as he secured them around, all that wonderful, you know, historical experience for them, but also serves as a wonderful picture for us. You know, the Passover and the Exodus, the deliverance from Egypt, from Pharaoh, as incredible as that is, actually pictures the even greater deliverance that God has through salvation through Jesus Christ, where we are saved from the Egypt of this world, from Satan, that is the ruler of this world, the Pharaoh of this world, from the bondage of sin, from a sure and certain death. You think about the fact of his wonderful saving grace. And then as we look on through it and look back at the conquest, such as, for instance, the book of Joshua, incredible historical experience, but also gives us an idea of the wonderful, sometimes just referred to, victorious Christian life that he's called us to. That you see mentioned, for instance, in the book of Ephesians. Yes, in a state of warfare, no doubt about it. But the sure victory that we have through Jesus Christ and the blessing that is ours in him. You know, what a wonderful God that we have, that wonderful saving grace. You think about the grace of God. You think about what we are experiencing today through Jesus Christ. What a reason to praise him. Salvation from our sins. A wonderful victory in our ongoing life as we follow him in obedience, as did Joshua. What a reason to praise him. What a reason to walk in confidence. What a reason, in fact, to trust him. But we also see, number three, God's protective care and how appropriate that is for us, especially for you if you may be in a very difficult situation. You think about what we read in verses 8 and 9. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. You know, he does not allow our feet to slip. I can't help but think about what David wrote in Psalm 18. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. You think of the security, the safety that's there. And of course, we all think about the 23rd Psalm, where the shepherd takes care of his sheep. You know, wonder what a wonderful reason, in fact, to praise, to worship our Lord, and yes, in fact, to trust him. And again, if you're going through a difficult situation, remember that at this very moment, this very instant, you are in the shepherd's hands. Even when you can't tell what He is doing, you can trust His presence, His power, His plan, His performance. And we can trust Him. And because we can trust Him, we can praise Him, even in the midst of whatever it is that we're facing. We have His protective care. But then notice what else. Not only do we have His protection in the midst of the situation, but then we also have the assurance of how He's using the situation. Look with me at number 4, God's refining deliverance. Look at verses 10 through 15. You have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You have made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts. With the smoke of rams I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats, Selah. You think about it. Yes, went through problems and difficulties. God's ultimate good and victory is assured. But even between now and then, consider how it's used. Again, look back at verse 10, the latter part of the, all of verse 10. You have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You know, we have the wonderful promise from God that He will carry us through every situation to our ultimate good. We all know Romans 8:28, or at least we should, and we cannot quote it or trust it or lean on it enough. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. But you think about what one element of that good is. Keep reading in the book of Romans, in that 8th chapter, and you come to the 29th verse. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Part of that good that God's working out is the good that He is working, in fact, in us. Yes, God delivers. God refines. Yes, we can trust God to carry us through a situation, ultimately bless us as a result of the situation, but part of that blessing is what He does within us, in our heart, our soul, our life, our walk. We can praise His refining deliverance. And as a result, we can trust Him for that. But then notice what else? Number 5, we have God's listening ear. Look at verses 16 through 20. Come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled in my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but God certainly has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from me. God listens to our prayers. We quoted, and I think we did it last week, in fact, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Now, He does list requirements, conditions for our prayers being answered and heard. Fact is, you see the main one here in verse 18. If I regarded wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But you know, the wonderful truth is He invites us to confession, and through confession to have cleansing. This great God invites us to pray, and He listens to our prayer. No wonder the writer of Hebrews was inspired to write in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a reason to praise. What a reason to trust. You know, no wonder the psalmist began the psalm back in verse 1 where he says, shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. What an awesome God we serve. What a God to praise. What a God to trust. I hope as you go through today that you can rest in this great God. And because you can rest in Him, trust in Him, that you'll in fact be filled with praise for Him. That you will in fact, as you see in verse 2, make His praise glorious within your heart. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, You are a great and wonderful God, Lord, unlimited in power, perfect in wisdom, Lord, infinite in your love, worthy of our trust, our praise, and our adoration. Lord, turn our eyes towards you, especially when we're burdened and worn down. Lead us, O God, to be able to lean upon you, rest in you, trust you. And Father, even in the midst of the problem, O God, to be able to praise you because you're worthy of our trust. Father, thank you for all you've done. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to be with you as we meet with our Lord. I hope as you go through today that yes, you can make his praise glorious. Hope that you can trust in him and rest in him. Because we have a God who is all sufficient, upon whom we can cast our every burden, who invites us to come to him, who is worthy of our trust.